Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Black Panther Corner. Well, the Truth and Power Corner. I apologize. I need to get used to new name as well. The Truth and Power Corner. How y'all doing this evening?
470-925-7471. Please leave your name and number and reason for call. Thank you.
Hello. Oh my goodness. Hello. How y'all doing this evening? Hold on, we're trying to get our guest on the line.
You have reached 470-925-7471.
Just a second. Peace and power.
Peace.
Come right.
Peace.
How you doing? I apologize. How you doing?
Oh, I'm splendid. I'm good. That's all right. Don't worry about it. These things happen.
Yeah, that's why I'm working with this technology. I got to learn it. I'm so appreciative of you joining us today. How you doing? This is Comrade Shaka Shakur. I have been listening to you. You have been a very powerful a brother that I've been listening to here lately. And I was like, man, he's saying some things and you have me looking at things a totally different way and a lot of things that you talk about. I want us to, come to the people today. And first of all, I want you to give us a little bit about who you are and introduce yourself to the people.
Indeed. All right, well, Black Power, first of all, my name is Shaka Jajaga Shakur. Originally out of New York City, Bronx and Harlem. Over the years, I've served in the Black Panther Collective during the 90s for about 10 years. And then I went on to do work on my own, and then eventually I joined the ranks of the new Black Panther Party in 2005, and I was chairman for New York for about 5 years or so. And after that, I went on to found several different programs. The People's Survival Program was one of them. Another was a hip-hop group, Maroon Society, which was also a movement with my brother Divine Allah. And then I went on to found the Jiname University, which I was inspired to create by working with a sister named Queen Thais here in Atlanta, and she inspired me to start my own school. So we started a Saturday school, which was really a support school. which is a whole different concept from a full-fledged liberation school. And that's it. I mean, a host of other things. I've done work in the community for years. You know, just doing what I got to do.
Okay. All right. That sound. And you said with the Saturday school, is that for children?
Actually, it's for everybody. It was centered around children at first, but then it quickly expanded from children. And we realized teaching children was good, but if we weren't connecting with their parents, we were sending these kids back home to an empty situation. So we were actually creating more of a problem than we realized. And then so eventually we just turned it into a community school, and then it went from being a school to a culturally based school because we felt it was more important to teach our culture and try to create our own culture and reconnect with our ways and our traditions. Because you can go to school and learn ABC 1, 2, 3, but our philosophy is you go there and learn 1, 2, 3. You come to us and learn who you be. That was our philosophy.
Exactly. And that's a lot. That's what a lot of people don't understand, because that's one of the things with opening the academy that I did online for my daughter and for some of our friends. That was the concept. They didn't understand that we had to, all of us are broke. And if we trying to teach the children, we can't teach them, and we still in lost place. You know what I'm saying? So it had to be like a family healing and different things like that. And that's one of the things that I like to focus on, too. Like, I know we have to have that militancy, right? But if we're not healing in the process, how do we get that balance? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I mean, it's a learning process, because over the years, especially with my own self, I've seen a lot of areas where I've been thrust into the battle, but I really didn't battle the things going on with me. And, you know, you could say, okay, well, this one didn't show me this or this one didn't show me that, but we're all kind of working with a half package, if you know what I mean. So, like, all of us are coming in because it's like you wake up one morning, your house is on fire. You don't really have time to talk about the fire. You got to put the fire out. So you end up focusing on getting the fire out so hard that you kind of forgot that you had a house in the first place. So now you're a great firefighter, but you're a poor housekeeper. So now you got to figure out how to become a good housekeeper and prevent the fire as well.
Okay, that's a good analysis. Very great analysis. You know, I was going down your timeline. I try to do my research on my guests before they come. And I like the way you put that, raise the frequency, because I noticed that if we, and it's easy to get into that petty state. You be wanting to go tit for tat with people, but when you take it to a high level, you get to a place where you're not focused on it anymore. So talk about that, raising the frequency, and what you mean when you say that.
Okay, well, that actually started when I was still doing my thing with hip-hop with the group Maroon Society. Me and the brother Devon Alau, you know, we were like, our first thing was the music. Like, you know, the music controls everything. So we were like, okay, if we raise the consciousness in music, now we're going to talk way back in during MySpace time. We were like, imagine if everybody would just tune in on this kind of, it can change things. And as that went on, the phrase raise the frequency became our slogan for the group. And I just took it to, you know, kept moving with it and started the call for the show. But I believe, I'm a firm believer that in all of us, including myself, and anything I say, I always speak from myself outward, not the other way. You know, if we tune into a different vibration, we'll get a different result. Like I was watching, what's really sparked it for me, I was watching a while back about spiritual vibes and how there was supposed to be a catastrophe, like an earthquake. And it's a true story in California, maybe about 6 years ago. So all the scientists got together and they realized, okay, this is going to happen. How do we stop it? So they got with the spiritual community. And the spiritual community, at this particular one, was Buddhist and things of that nature. They began to meditate for a year, almost a year. And what happened is they changed the vibration of the planet. And the earthquake, like the fault line was seized. Now, people say, oh, that's incredible. They can't do that. But it's been proven on smaller levels, like where they take a table with vibration and they pour salt on a table. And depending on the vibration, you get different pictures. You know, you see it all the time. Water moves a certain way of vibration. So it's true that vibration has a lot to do with the outcome. So in other words, we are I'm even starting to learn more about that. We are the actual authors of a lot of things in our life and a lot of positions. Now, we accumulate that with our personal life, but I'm also saying, you know what? Things that are happening outside as in this political realm and all these things, a lot of these things are the result of our vibration, you know, how we perceive it. I don't mean just the negative stuff we do. Like, I'll take, for instance, this thing with the Capitol last week, or this whole state of political disarray we see right now. You know, we've been saying we want this system down. This system got to go for how many years? 400 years? 500 years? We've been saying this as a collective group. So as a collective group, we've been putting this energy out forever. So my thing is, why is it so hard to believe that maybe what we're seeing is not a result of what white folks is doing? It's a result of the vibration that we're putting out, but we pictured, because we're human, and we like to picture ourselves in the middle of it. So we were thinking we were going to be the ones to destroy this. But maybe our vibration pushed them to do this. So we're still at the backside of it. And I accumulated with a story Harriet Tubman had when she said that she had an evil slave master, and she wished him dead, and he caught a heart attack. I mean, we heard these kind of stories over and over again. And, you know, so I started doing my research for the last year or so, and it got to the point where I started catching on. I started coming across more information about how we can really control the vibe, and, you know, and how our enemy understands that and uses that against us, how we have to start understanding that to use that for us. So I really got off on that and really started to push that as a strategy, not just a, like, okay, let's be all peaceful floating on a leaf. And no, so if we're warriors, we've got to be warriors on different levels. So we really got to start thinking about that level as well.
Exactly, because that's the same thing I say with our spiritual connection. That's why they know.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they brought in their religion, because just like Haiti, mm-hmm. I keep saying Haiti 1804, how they think the pyramids were built. That was built by telepathy. You know what I'm saying? We should be able to speak to each other without even speaking. But we don't have that connection with nature and with our oneness anymore. So I totally agree with you on that. And then I was looking, you had this post, you were like, you remember a time we used to stand and we used to throw knowledge at each other. Now look what it's gotten to. You know what I'm saying? And that made me speak so hard, because even though we were in that church, we still were learning things. Anyway,
mm-hmm.
our parents were still teaching us, and I said, we still dropping the ball, man. Even if they are these radios and this stuff out here, if we were counteracting it in some kind of way, we could make some breakthroughs. What you think?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think, like, another reason I put that, because, you know, I've been caught up, and I had became guilty of it myself, and I had to check myself first. And I was like, you know, I found myself being egotistical, like pushing my idea. Now, you may want to help, but I was like, wait a minute, I'm pushing, and I shouldn't have to push. It should be a situation where what I'm saying is an add-on. So now we get these mediums like face texting and all this other stuff, and I'm all for technology, long as it's balanced. But we're losing touch with each other. So because I'm not looking at you, you know, you'll say something on Facebook, I'll say something on Facebook, and now we are arguing with each other, and then we're catching feelings with each other, because this is energy. And this energy, because we're not in each other's presence, we can't detect and, you know, and reciprocate the energy, so it gets lost in the translation, and we get off on all this other stuff. So I had to remind people, like, I was incarcerated for 4 years of my life, and I was incarcerated with people you would consider dangerous people, right? But we would go back and forth and be heated debate, but not personal. It was just heated because we were passionate about what we were learning. So we would go at it, and then we'd go back to your cell, and then you lock in, you read a book, and you'd be like, all right, when I get out of there tomorrow, boy, I'm going to give it to him. And, yo, this is how we learn. You know, we do it in barbershops. We see it in the hair salons, and, you know, so we got to get back to that.
Exactly.
Because what happens is we've been so separated that we're like electronic neutrons and protons that are not working with each other but working against each other. And it's by design. I understand it. And I was a victim of it too. And I woke up, and I'm just trying to wake others up.
Yes, and it's a hard walk waking up, because once you wake up, you have to practically change your whole existence. You know what I'm saying? It's like your whole life was an entire life. So I totally agree with you on that. And when you were talking about the ego, taking your ego, and that's one thing that a lot of us have a problem with. I heard you talking about that. That was just a short little video, but it was powerful, because we do, our egos get in the way. And I'm not going to, I know I get personal, and that's what I'm working on right now. I take things personal a whole lot. And when you take things personal, sometimes it don't even be about you. Go ahead and talk about that.
It's true. I mean, like, with the ego thing, like, and for, again, reflecting from self out, you know, you have to understand, like, we're warriors. And, you know, a little bit of us is, there is the ego there. I mean, it's there. It's part of your nature. You know, if you're, like, for instance, if you're into music, you know, you're going to make sure your thing look the best. We come outside, we want to look the best. So a little bit of that is not a problem. But what happens now we're dealing with the invisible man syndrome. And, like, W.E.B. Du Bois talked about the double consciousness, how we have to be more than one person every day. But along with that, we're also invisible. We've been invisible for 500 years. Like, nobody cared what black folks think. Nobody asked you your opinion. I mean, up until maybe 60 years ago, they would talk right in front of you like you're not even in the room. You know, they plotted your demise while you were standing right there. Like, they didn't care. So now, because we have been so invisible, once we become visible, we become extra visible. Now I'm going to go hard and this, that, and the other. So when I look at things like, when I look at our brothers and sisters, which I'm totally, let me get it clear, I'm totally with the armed struggle. I understand that it is a necessity and self-defense is a must. So I'm not ever going to say don't do that. But that feeling is great. It raises that feeling in us. But somebody got to stop and say, okay, wait. Even though we feel this way, let's check what we're doing, y'all, because we might be overdoing it now. You know what I mean? We might be doing it a little too much. And so when you say that, of course, like one brother wrote me, he was like, oh, why would you go at a black man like that? And, you know, we haven't understood the difference between going at each other and trying to lend another perspective. You know what I mean? Like, so my thing is, you know, everything we do has to have a purpose, or it's egotistical. It's just that simple. That's me, anybody. If you're doing something and it has a purpose, then that's one thing. But if you're not careful, you could be lying to yourself and saying, man, I'm doing this for the people, and you handing out food and all that, but really you're doing it for yourself, you know, because it makes you feel good. I've been guilty of it. When I was in the party, I talked freely about when I was a chairman, man, look, if things wasn't going right for me or the day wasn't good in my household, throw on that Black Panther uniform, walk down the block. Everybody, hey, Brother Shaka, Brother Shaka, Brother Shaka, Brother Shaka. By the time I walked down the block, I feel like $1 million. So
yeah.
I turned, my status became like a drug. So I knew that I could feel good if I just put on this image. So a lot of us, when we're showing, you know, which I think is don't do, and people do it, showing your whole arsenal of weapons or showing your stash, you know, it is the same. One person wrote, it's the same as if you were showing dogs, like I said in the video. It doesn't matter. If you have a bunch of dogs and you just love dogs and you're trying to share that, that's a purpose. But if you're showing the dogs, then only you know your heart. So in your heart, if you're showing your dogs, look how many dogs I got, then that's something you have to deal with. We all have to deal with that. We all have to keep that in check. You know, I'm no one different. I'm no one above the same rule. We have to make sure that we continue to have purpose.
Exactly. Because that's one of the things I noticed when I was, in the party, and it was a lot of egos, And I'm like, we're not out here working for the people and working toward our liberation. It's null and void. It's a waste of our time. And I saw where you Wakusu. Now I know it is WUCUSU, but I see you use WUKUSU. Can you explain what it stands for me?
Okay, well, originally it's Wake Up, Clean Up, Stand Up, and it came from Malcolm X. And it was coined by my brother Divine Allah back in like 2000 and I want to say 6, 7. We were in the group Maroon Society, and we were trying to think of a catchy phrase that we could use to get the crowd hype. So he came, was like, "Yo, I got this phrase." You know, he's a big Wu-Tang fan. So he was like, "You know, I love the Wu, so check this out, Wukusu." And I was like, "What is Wukusu?" And he was like, "Look at the video." So Malcolm was like, "If you wake up and you clean up, you'll stand up." So he's like, "There it is." So we started running with it. And, you know, later on I found it gave life other places. And so we started running with it, and originally I had a C. But then recently one of my brothers, Samaj L., was like, "We should use the K. You know, wake up and clean up with a K, because C is not really in our dialect. You know, we from the Cop. Okay. There's no C where we come from." And I was like, "You know, that's okay. True. Like, you don't spell Africa with a C, you spell it with a K." So then, you know, people were just like, "Wake up, king up." And then, you know, and then some people put a Q in it and queen up. You know what I mean? But we keep it at W-U-K-U-S-U. Wake up, clean up, stand up.
All right. That's what I'm talking about right there. And I know that you are a truck driver by profession. And you say that,
yes.
You know, truck driving is very therapeutic. I see you be getting some nice peaks on the road. So tell us how that works in with everything being therapeutic and being able to have that time to yourself. Because, like, right now during this pandemic, it's a lot of emotional things going on with our people. Too many domestic violence and situations, assaults. We need to get that healing and stuff. So let's talk on that right there for a minute.
I think, definitely, like, the time on the road, you're moving, you're seeing things, scenery's changing, so you're getting stimulated left and right. That is one of the biggest things. It's not like sitting in your house. So now I'm going from east to west, north to south. As you see, I'm all over the place. And really, I'm feeling the energy of the land more than I ever felt. And I'm, you know, my mother's from Charleston. My father's from the Appalachians. So I'm not foreign, and I have land. I'm not foreign to land and the energy of land. But when you're traveling through different land and you see different things, you feel in a whole new energy. And just hours and hours without talking, you know, just listening to myself more. And, you know, listening to what's going on in my head instead of always conversating. It gives you a different view of things, a view of yourself, you know, and it really tests your fiber because a lot of people cannot be alone. Like, you know, when I was younger, I mean, during my incarceration, I was in isolation for 180 days, and that's a long time to be in isolation, but it's a different kind of – that was the punishment. But this time alone has been very helpful to me. And, again, it's therapeutic because it gives me the chance in a different perspective and look at myself. Really, I spend a lot of time looking at myself, you know. So when you see a lot of posts, people think those posts are directed so much to them. It's more directed at me and how I'm feeling at the moment. And I also put things to make us think, you know, because how we treat one another and how you treat yourself, all that goes hand in hand, you know. And you really don't see it when you're moving and buzzing. You hurt, we all do. We hurt people. I hurt people. People hurt me. We don't see it because we're moving. But when you stop and you stand still, you get to see it.
Exactly.
And appreciate.
Yes. Exactly. When you have that time to yourself, you can't do nothing but appreciate, because most people don't like being to themselves, and that's one thing that we got to work on. I want to thank our caller for calling in. I keep dropping his call. I'm going to let him come in and see what he has to say right quick. All right, caller 4169, you on the air. How you doing today? Comrade.
Hey, peace, love, and black empowerment. This is Brother Tay out of Mile High City, Mile High News. How's everybody doing this evening?
All right. Peace. How you doing, peace. Brother Tay? This Comrade Shaka we're talking with today. So thank you for joining us. We're going to finish his interview right quick, and then I'll let you have a say after we get finished with his interview and when we closing out, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
All right. All right, comrade. Now, I saw this acronym, SELF, on your page. Spirituality,
right.
Enlightened Life Force. Tell me what that is.
What I've learned through my studies is that there is definitely an energy You know, people describe it as God, different things, and I'm not going to take that from anybody, but I see it as an energy. And this energy is not only here in our, it's all over throughout the cosmos, and definitely throughout everything we see here. And we can see it in the physical because there are elements of the earth that exist in you. So you're one with the earth, we're one with each other. And that self scientifically came because there is no singular anything in the universe. Everything is connected to something. Every cause has an effect, vice versa. So with that being said, I was like, when we say self, you know, there's a collective self, and then there's, you know, what we think self is, the individual. But even the individual, like I said, is not. So I just looked at words like chi. People say ashe all the time, and we have taken ashe and made it to like amen, and that's not what ashe means. You know, ashe is not a word. It's a thing. It's that force. They call it chi in Asia. You know, we've heard nirvana, different things. Well, I just looked at it all, and I said, well, you know, what exists in us, and it just kind of came to me, was the spiritually enlightened life force. You know, and spirit, understanding that's your essence. And when you enlighten yourself, like any other light, you shine. And then when you shine and you illuminate yourself, that life has force now. So it's a spiritually enlightened life force. That's what the self is. And if we think that way, we can get out a lot of the individualism. You know, we say it in the movement a lot that, you know, I'm for the people, I'm for the people, I'm for the people. But until we totally can understand how connected we are to everything around us, and I'm still young and still coming to an understanding of that. And the more I travel, the more I'm understanding. When you see me out there in these pictures and I'm on this land and I'm like, wow, you can feel the energy of the land. It all starts to connect. You know, maybe about a month ago I was in Utah late at night and I got out my truck and just looked up. And I kid you not, I've never seen so many stars in my life, you know. And at that point, when I looked, and the whole canvas of darkness was covered with these stars, as far as the eye could see, you really see how minute you are compared to everything around. With all the stuff going on, we're still just one speck in this cosmic blanket, if you will. So there's got to be a thread that connects it all. And that's what I'm seeking, that thread.
And it's there's really the truth that we're seeking, because I look at it like that also, because I'm like, what made us be here at this time, in this space, in this dimension, on this planet? Why? You know what I'm saying? Why were we chosen to be here at this time? And if you always, like I say, you always want to go back to, it's me, but it can't be you when it's a whole collective that's being affected. And until we understand that what happens to you gonna happen to me, until we get it together, it's gonna keep happening like that, because we're not rolling in accordance with nature. And that's what we need. Go ahead.
And even when you meet someone, you know, we have to understand, like when you meet Shaka, you didn't just meet Shaka. I'm a complete culmination of everybody I've ever met in my life. So you just met everybody I ever met in my life. That's how connected we are. You know, their experiences and everybody that they know, all those experiences culminated into my thinking at this particular time in my life. You know, and I'll evolve based on more information. So information creates information. So there's no single spark. It's an all spark. And we have to learn that. And that's why when people say, you know, I ain't this person, I ain't that person. Yeah, we are. We all are. And I worked in the theater, the National Black Theater of Harlem, for quite some time. And I got to see plays being written from the ground and built from the ground up. And when you watch a person create somebody, just their idea, and then they teach the idea to people, those people become characters, and then they take a blank stage and create a set. And then you go and you guys go in and open the night of the play, you in a whole new reality. But that reality started from somebody's mind. And their concept started from somewhere else. So you see how it all connects? And now all of that is your experience, and you're going to go home and tell your family, and then it keeps going on and on and on.
Exactly. Just like a chain, a continuation of a chain. That's why we got to stop handing down these chains of oppression. I saw also where you were talking about the real meaning of understanding in relationships, and that meant personal relationships, platonic family relationships. And I love how that was explained. Can you explain it to us again?
Yes.
That
I
was
mean,
perfect
understanding, like, it's just what the word says, to stand under, you know, to support, to hold, you know. And when you have a true understanding of something, you have a 360-degree perspective now. It's complete. You stand on it, you know, and it's under you. It supports you, and you rest on top of that. So that's what understanding is. Some people like to say overstanding, but I choose to keep with understanding, because when I drive this truck across a bridge, that bridge is under me, and it supports me. And my understanding of the physics of that bridge gets me across to the other side. So when you understand that, you can't understand it until you go through it. And then that takes a bit of realness, because even with myself, I haven't had the greatest relationships, personal or friendship-wise, because we don't have blueprints as black people. We don't really know what relations are. We kind of get lumped with each other, and then we got to try to, I'm meeting you as a friend or a personal friend, and then I'm meeting all the stuff you go through, and et cetera, et cetera. So it's a long process. So I that's why I always say we have to peel back the layers to get a true understanding, so we can really stand firm on what we know at the moment, because knowledge is just to know your ledge, and ledges continue and change with the time. So for now, in this reality, we want to strive to have a complete understanding.
Exactly. And that's why and that's what we dropping the ball at, like with our children, right? With that understanding part. Because we have become so disconnected with them. And I totally agree with you about this music and the television and movies and things like that. If we don't get control of this, and the education, the miseducation is the starter. If we don't get them out of those indoctrination centers, we're not going to be able to build a black nation, because we're not going to have African-centered or children that's thinking about themselves first, building that nation in their indoctrination center. So I totally agree with you on your about the music and everything. And I see where you all are doing the Maroon Multimedia, and you were talking about the Maroon Society. How are y'all? How far are y'all in those plans and everything?
Well, we did the music thing for like about 6 years, so we went pretty far on that. After that, my brother Divine has a fitness training program that he does in Trenton, and I'm off into writing books. I'm working on a book now and a film at the same time. So we're about, I want to say, a scale of 100, we're good 75% of the way. I'm really in the switch now with the film. Because of COVID, it's a blessing, because now there are no movie theaters, so everything goes straight to streaming. So it's kind of easy to get in the game now. So our whole idea, just like we did with our music, is like we're not going to chase. We're Maroons. And the Maroons, as we all know, were the Africans who rebelled. They refused to be slaves. So we're saying, look, man, I don't care about, I mean, yeah, money is nice, but I'm not going to sell out. I'm not going to talk about this poison. I'm not going to push that ideology. I'm just not. So if I have to do it on my own, and true black nationalism, I'll do it on my own. And I don't care if I sell it to two people. That's two people I saved. And if they sell it to two more people, that's four people now. That's our philosophy. You know, with Maroon Society and Maroon Multimedia, because we can complain about it all day, and you know, but that, they're doing what they're supposed to do. So I used to be like, oh, this is that, but then it hit me one day, like, that's what they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to help me. They're supposed to help their children. So now I gotta help my people, you know. And in doing that, I'm just warning people: it's frustrating, but we gotta keep on pushing, you know. And I think one of the things we're understanding again is communication. And I'm guilty of it as a parent, too. A lot of times we try to instill things on our children that were instilled in us. But just because it was instilled in us doesn't always make it a good lesson. So I've learned to talk to my children more, to communicate with them, see what's on their mind, and then try to find a medium. Because these are not little robots. These are, I have, you know, young sons. They and daughters are older, but young sons. They're individuals. They're 15 and 12. They got their own mind, their own viewpoints. And I got to respect that. Because if I don't, then I'm oppressing them the same way we get oppressed by these other folks. You know? So you got to give your children, I mean, with respect, if you teach them respect, they're going to respect, tell you about yourself sometime. Ask them, do you think I'm a good father? Do you think I'm a good mother? Like, just ask them straight up. And let them know, be honest. And they will tell you, like my son will tell me, overall, you're good, Dad. But, this day over here, you did this, and you could have handled that differently. And, and we'd be like, I ain't asking my kids nothing. But if you follow our traditions, who did we turn to? The oldest person or the eldest person and the youngest.
Exactly.
Because the young see things clearly.
Always.
And then teach your kids not to be scared of you.
And look, and that's a trip because I promise you, me and my kids get it all day long. And we be going, I be like, oh my goodness. I said, well, at least I know they ain't scared to say what they want to say. You know what I'm saying? but it's easy to get wrapped up in it because you be thinking, okay, my mom wasn't no bad mom. I'm all right. You know what I'm saying? So she had to be doing right, but some of that, those things that they did do to us was toxic, and that we have to learn and evolve from it. And then I saw this elder that he was talking about, think for yourself, study for yourself, and then when you find what is the truth, live the truth. Now, do you know his name?
No. What's his name?
I'm not sure. I was asking. But what are your thoughts on what
No, sister. I mean, that's true. I mean, self-reflection is self-definition. You know what I mean? Again, remember, self is a spiritually enlightened life self. So even though you're coming, like Shaka's coming into my own, I'm still going to find that I'm connected, and I got to think about that as I grow. You know, and then people have to understand that, like, I might be indoctrinated in a certain way of thinking. Like, I asked somebody the other day, I said, what if all the stuff that we've learned as revolutionaries, what if we find out tomorrow all of that is wrong? Could we switch, or will we just hold on out of fear of new things? You know, what if somebody just figure out, like, you know what, all that's good, but all that is wrong. Like, y'all been going on the wrong road for 60 years, so you got to go this way now. Like, you know,
that's practically what happened.
Make that change.
It's you see what I'm saying? That's practically what happened to us in life. You see what I'm saying? All them years, I was in the church for over 30 years. And then all of a sudden, one day, I found out God. You see what I'm saying? So
right.
That is like a disconnect because you sitting up there,
looking
at it like all my life. Because at first, the first thing I did, I got angry at my mom and my grandma because I felt like they lied to me. I had to get over that first.
Then
I had to get over the fact that, okay, so if God not real, who I've been praying to all these years, you know what I'm saying? So I totally understand what you're talking about. But hey,
you know, so I look at it like that, and that's been a lot of, like, lately, my questioning. You know, why do we do things the way we do it? I'm not saying anyone's wrong, but that is a comprehension, and there are different comprehensions. You know, if we say that, you know, black is infinite. And black is this, and black, which it is. It's infinite. It's the base of all creation. So if blackness is the infinite base of all creation, then why are we so limited with our approach to things? Like, I told somebody, I said, what if I told you that so far in this movement, with all the good work we've been doing, we've really only done the same thing they did in the 60s. We haven't pushed it anywhere further. None of us.
It's true.
Pushed it anywhere. And we've rehashed a lot of work that was gone. We brought it back. We it feels good, but we really haven't pushed the agenda one inch.
I mean, that's you can't be number true. You know what I'm saying? True.
You know,
because we haven't, what are we owning yet? What have we built yet?
Right.
We're still in the process and we're still in the planning stage because we got so many of us to keep playing. You see what I'm saying? So
you are not
lying about that at all.
Like when you ask those questions, people might get offended, but I'm not asking people. My goal is never to offend or never shut you down because, look, I don't care what you're doing. You could be doing something to hurt black people. So, and I'm not talking about the hustlers. I'm talking about the sincere people who really think, you know, they're doing what they feel is good. I'm not knocking you, but if we don't continue to challenge ourselves, we won't grow. We will become stagnant, you know. Things only elevate like yeast or your bread. When you cook your bread, there is a chemical reaction that causes yeast to rise. That means things are going on, you know. When you wash your clothes, you know, if you there's a little piece called an agitator. If you don't have that piece in your washing machine, your clothes are going to be going round and round and round and round. They're going to get wet, and the dirt going to stick right to them. The agitator shakes it up. So unless we shake up things and be willing to be uncomfortable, don't take it personal. Nobody's saying your group is not doing anything. Nobody say who you following or rocking with is not on the right point. None of that. But continue to question. We are beings of science. We always say math and science rules everything. Well, math is a series of equations that are pushed against other equations, dialectical materialism. You know, science is a series of questions, which is also part of that dialectic. So we utter that a lot of times politically. Oh, dialectical materialism. And it's true. I'm not taking from it. But take it a step further. Apply it to what we do. Apply it to who we are. It feels good, but could you be better? That was a great move, but could we do it better? Or have we really moved the dial, or are we just reviving something? Like you said earlier, we're in a planning stage. If that's where we at, that's cool. But let's define it for what it really is so that we can start to really make some moves. Because we've been bringing home political prisoners left and right. And I don't really see the masses clicking into that. And we should pay attention to that because that is a move. That's a piece we can say that's a victory. We brought them brothers and sisters home. Now, the other half is, like you said, when it comes to ownership, they're small. Like, I'm traveling, so I meet small groups of people that own things. So I could calculate that and say, okay, well, we're kind of getting there. You know, we can put it together, but we got to question it. That's my point. If we're afraid to question ourselves, we will not grow. And anything that doesn't grow is dead.
Yes. Self-criticism. We have to critique what we're doing. Because, and that's
right,
the thing,
right.
We have a lot of people that are doing things individually. And that's what I hate, that we cannot come together as collective because we are all on different pages. And we all want to, you know, come to it from our point of view. And it's not like it. We got to think for the collective. We got to think for our children. And that's what we're not thinking for right now. We're thinking for the present and, you know, what's going to benefit us. And our time is over. We need to be preparing for our future, for our children, for the generations to come. If we don't put foundations in place, what are they going to have? You see what I'm saying? I don't understand what our people are even focused on anymore, because they're not focused on the healing or the aspect. But I can say this, a lot more are being awakened nowadays.
Yes.
I think you would think.
I agree.
Okay, I know they haven't been blind to the fact. What do you think it's going to take? Because I just knew by now everybody's going to walk up back now. What do you think it's going to take for that mass awakening to just, I mean, we got a lot of people waking up, but we need that collective.
I think, honestly, sister, I talked to them a while back. I don't believe in unity the way it is described to us. I believe that is an unreachable goal. You know, I believe that an awakening is just that. It's an awakening. And it's like having a garden, if you will, plant the seeds. Maybe four or five grow over here, and then you skip about three that didn't grow, and another four or five grow over there, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that that's still considered a good crop. Because you weigh your growing against what you didn't grow. So if you know three-thirds didn't grow, but the rest grew, that's a pretty good crop. All right. So then we look at how can we get this other extra amount to grow. So I don't think there's going to be a mass awakening. I think that the awakening is mass in the sense that it's numerous, but not mass in the way we look at it. Like, you know, we grew up watching – I'm 51, so we grew up watching those reels of the Great Garvey March and Malcolm with all those people out there, and you know, even in our time, the Million Youth Marches and things of that nature. So we think that that's what it is. But when you talk to these people from those times, these elders, they'll tell you, like, man, it wasn't nobody out here. It was just us. You know what I mean? I have family that went to original party. They tell me all the time. They're like, man, it was like four of us who were really Panthers. Everybody else just kind of hung around, you know? And that's the reality of it. It's never going to happen in mass multitude. And I think the enemy has programmed us to wait for that so that we'll become discouraged. But even in the plantation, Nat Turner had to go to how many plantations before he got an army? If that was the case, he wouldn't have had to do nothing. They would have been, all right, we've been waiting for you. Let's go. But he had to convince them. Harriet set us up. I freed hundreds, but I could have freed thousands. You know, so we keep hearing that narrative over and over and over again. So I'm a firm believer that as long as there is an awakening, that's what matters.
Exactly.
And unity, the unity is the fact that it's happening. Again, back to the self. If you're awake, then I woke up. And if I'm awake, then you wake up. That's where that all comes in. So it's an individual quest, but it has a funny way of connecting on its own. And that goes back to our ego. It might not be our job to unify everybody. You know, Shaka's going to unify everybody. Maybe that's not my job. Maybe my job is to unify myself, you know, because universe is you and I verse. So maybe if I unify myself, get my affairs in order, try to move the best way I know how to move, be honest when I speak, you know, if I mess up, own up, you know, in my own life, never mind outside, in my own life, maybe then I can say and do things that will inspire the next person who is in the same position, like, well, if he did it, I could do it. And then that might be the unifying factor. Again, unity on another scale.
Exactly. As I said, that we might not, as long as like we waking up the people in our families, our children, and trying to get them to see that they need to change their ways and try to, you know, that way, like you had a post on your page, once a match sparks how many others, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
I want to, like I said, this has been a great show. Like, we are getting things together. I appreciate you coming. I want you to get a closing together for me. I'm going to let Brother Tay come on in and give us a closing so we can go on and let you get back to what you have to do. I appreciate you. You are always
welcome. Yes, thank you, Steve.
And you give me a closing together.
Thank you very much.
I'm going to bring Brother Tay back in for a minute. All right, Brother Tay. Come on in and give us a closing right quick, and we're going to go ahead and close the show out with Brother Shaka. We appreciate you tuning in. And everybody, if you the other caller that's on the line, if you want to talk, just push 1. And I want to thank you all for calling in and joining the show today. Go ahead, Brother Chay.
Yes, awesome show. I'm glad I called in. Awesome presentation, Brother Shabaka, Shaka, excuse me, and great discussion, Melly Queen, with Brother Shaka. I just want to say that we will win. We are all that we got. Ain't nobody coming to save us.
Right.
Right. And Black Power.
All right. Thank you, Brother Chay, for always being a valued listener. And go ahead, Brother Shaka, give us a closing. Like I said, you are always welcome. We appreciate you taking this time with us. And we've had a great show. I've enjoyed this conversation. So go ahead and give us a closing right quick.
Hold on 1 second, sister.
Okay. But, Tay, what y'all doing up there tonight? But no, Becky.
I'm not sure. He was supposed to be back yesterday, but I haven't talked to him today.
Because I know we're going to do a show next week, Wednesday, if they don't do Mile High News.
All right, I'm back, sister. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm living the truck.
That's okay.
I'm having my truck worked on as I'm speaking. But just to close
out,
man.
Just go ahead and give us a close so you can go ahead and take care of your business. We appreciate you. Go ahead.
I just want everybody out there to, just make a personal vow not to get caught up to the point where we forget that we're family, not to let our shortcomings be our definition, because it's not. We're greater than we even know, and we're growing every day. So in a true essence of wake up, clean up, stand up, wake up to the greatness that you are and the greatness that your people have given you. And then I want y'all to clean up. Let's start to change everything that we know is not working for us, no matter how long you've been doing it, even if it means changing your philosophies. Be brave enough to do that. And then when we do, we're going to stand up. And when we stand up upright, make sure that nothing ever, ever, ever pushes us back into the position we came from. And then let's love each other, you know, with meaning lifting our vision eternally.
I said,
we got to lift our vision eternally, and let's just make it happen. It's our year.
Yes, I approve that message. Thank you so very much for y'all tuning in.
Thank you for having me, sister.
We appreciate you. We appreciate you. Be careful out there on that road. Thank you, Brother Che,
yes,
for calling in. And thank you, our other caller. And thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Truth and Power Corner with Sis Melly. Today we spoke with Brother Shaka Shakur. Had a great, great show. Love you all. Peace and black power. All power to the people.
All power to the people.